Hi, Gudvah. This is Yisachar Wartell, and we are up to Parshat Balak. Before I begin, once again, our shiur sponsored in loving memory of Sarah Balabat Menachem Mendel. May her neshama have an aliyah. Now, this Dvar Torah was also co-written with a person who helps me, you know, from time to time, somebody that I can really, you know, rely on to help me elucidate answers, questions, things like that, and that's Isaac or Yitzchak Ka'oki. So he did. I want to give him a big shout out for helping me with this Dvar. And in this week's parsha, the Torah bears witness to Bilam's attempts to curse the Jewish nation. Despite being told by Hashem that the people, being blessed, cannot be cursed, he persists in this quest. On the way, we are given three scenarios in which Bilam attempts to progress towards his goal, while Hashem, through the agency of the Malach and also the mouth of the donkey, interferes with his progress. By the way, you'll also notice this is one of many threes in this week's parsha. Now, Rashi provides some interpretations of these specific events in which the donkey, you know, veers off the side of the road, presses him against the wall, etc. And that these shlosh regalim, zeh shlosh regalim, used by the donkey, clearly correlate to the shlosh regalim of Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. In another place, he quotes the Midrash Tanhuma, which cryptically notes that these three places correspond to the three avos. If you get my written dvar, by the way, this week I will be speaking additionally about other possibilities with the three, although the Vilna Gaon talks about it extensively, as does the Sfas Emes in numerous places, and I'm sure many other commentaries do as well. Now, we have the pasuk, Vayichar af Elokim ki hoechu v'yitzev ma'ach Hashem baderech l'satan lo v'hu rochev al atono u'shnei ne'arav imo. And God's anger was kindled because he went, and the angel of the Lord placed himself in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his donkey, and his two servants were with him. Now we already know from the previous verse that he was traveling upon his donkey, but here we are given additional information. What's that? That there are two servants traveling with him that were not previously mentioned in this parsha. In his preparations to leave Im Sari Moab with the princes or ministers of Moab. These two unnamed servants directly call to mind the story of the Akedah, where Avram, who's the foil to Bilam, saddles his own donkey and travels with his own servants to eagerly fulfill the word of Hashem. So, and it says there that he had two youths with him, or not necessarily two youths, but two individuals. Now, Chazal say these two individuals were Yishmael and Elazar. There's, of course, other opinions as well. Now, in this case, we don't necessarily know who they are, but we can perhaps give it some insight. Now, Bilam is seeking to curse the Jewish nation, descended from Avram, and specifically, this comes to recall, basically, this idea of these two servants with him. Who are these two servants? Right? We still don't know, but they call to bear the memory of the unfit progeny symbolized by the two servants, who were Yishmael and Elazar. Neither one could carry the seed of the Jewish people. They were told to stay there with the donkey. But his own actual donkey, Bohem's donkey, provides the answer. But Tirah Haton et Mach Hashem Yitzav Aderech V'Cherbel Shluf Avad Yidoh And the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, his sword drawn in his hand. The donkey turned the sign out of the way, and he went to the field. Bilam smote the donkey to turn her onto the way, her, in this case, being the she-donkey. When the merit of Avram is threatened, we can then invoke the righteousness of Yitzchak, right? That's the second turning of the donkey, which is the second of the three, who goes out to pray into the field, right? Which makes sense because the donkey's going out into a field, and Yitzchak goes out to pray into a field, so there's a connection. So after the first attempt of Bilam is foiled, this is where we go. Then he says, then Vayamod Malach Hashem b'Yishol HaKramim Gadar Mizeh b'Gadar Mizeh. The angel of the Lord stood in a hollow way between the vineyards, a fence on this side and a fence on that side. And this duality is representative of the children of Yitzchak, which are Yaakov and Esau, right? The righteous Yaakov and the wicked Esau. Now, Yaakov's piety was genuine. Chazal say that, however, that Esau attempted to fool his father into seeking being righteous by asking him frivolous questions or fences for halacha, such as the tithing of straw and salt, as Rashi in the Midrash note. It is the realization of this deception that causes Yitzchak to be filled with fear after realizing that Yaakov stole his brother's blessing. Once again, though, the actions of the donkey provide us with our response, as it says, V'tirah ha'tonet malach Hashem, v'tilchatz v'takir, v'tilchatz v'tregel bilam, el kir, v'yosof ha'akutah. And the donkey saw the angel of Hashem, and she thrust herself into the wall and crushed Bilam's foot against the wall, and he smote her again. Not really smote, but he struck her again. The term lechatz is used extensively in Shemos to refer to the harshness of the slavery in Mitzrayim, the payment for the birthright we swapped with Esau. When our enemies seek to invoke the flaws of the progeny of Yitzchak, our response is to point to Yaakov and the blood, sweat, and tears that we had to suffer to attain our status as Hashem's people. Now the next pasuk states, "Vayosef Malach Hashem Alvor v'Yemin Rakom Tzar Asher Ein Derech Nitot Yemin Esmo." And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was nowhere to turn, right or left. Finally, Bilam reaches the crux of the matter, the heart and the progeny of Yaakov, the very invocation of the Egyptian slavery, which is a makom tsar, which literally means narrow, and is a remnant to Mitzrayim, reminds us of the intermingling struggles that the Jewish family had to suffer through, that the sale of Yosef set the stage for the descent to Egypt. So how can we possibly shirk responsibility for these failings? And Bilam was trying to say that, like, you know what I mean? These Jewish people, they got their start in Mitzrayim, but how'd they get in Mitzrayim? They sold Yosef. So they don't have such humble beginnings. And we're going to see that turns around. As the donkey saw the angel of Hashem, and she weighed down under Bilam, and Bilam's anger was kindled, and he smote the donkey with his staff. Now this reflects some of the final words Yaakov offers to his children, right? Which is Yisachar Chamar Garem, my favorite pasuk, Rovetz Ben Hamishvatayim, which is Yisachar, a beast of burden, for lack of, it has a lot of different possibilities of meaning. It can carry a very large, you know, weight. Rovates crouching between the borders. So all we can do in this case is to crouch between the judgments of Torah, to set ourselves into study and connect through our learning with Hashem. When the merit of our forefathers cannot be invoked, our unified dedication to observing Hashem's Torah is what sustains us. And it's this observation of a unified nation engaged in Torah study that basically negates all of Bilam's curses. We ultimately overcame any negative attributes that brought us there. The selling of Yosef, we did teshuvah for that. What is our, we did Mitzrayim, we did teshuvah for that. Even the Chet Egel, we did teshuvah for that. We had to rectify all of our avers. We had to rectify all of our sins, and Hashem forgave us. And we had to overcome that. And we really wanted to be a part of Hashem's people. We came together, you know, in the times of Yeshua. We came together, you know, so many times, despite our quarreling and disputes. Ultimately, we saw ourselves as a people, and we connect ourselves to Hashem. And that was something that Bilam was forced to acknowledge. When he says, Matovu alech Yaakov mishkanatecha Yisrael, how great are your tents, right? Your dwelling places of Israel. And your dwelling places could be wherever they are. It could be dwelling with the Shechina. It could be dwelling in the Mishkan. And ultimately, wherever they dwelled, Bilam saw, even on the Ketzei, on the edge, on the corner, that ultimately everybody was connected to Hashem, right? Even if they quabbled, even if they had a short fuse, even if they were stiff-necked, right? They still had a connection to Hashem, and this was something. Now, another interesting idea to explore is extending this concept of the three brachos of Bilam to those connecting to the Avos and the Chagim, and as I mentioned, that connects to so many other threes. So see how many threes you can find in this week's Parsha, and how many other threes that you can think of in general in Judaism, and how they may relate to the three circumstances, either with the donkey or the three sets of Bilam's blessings and other threes to come up in this week's parsha. So that's your homework for today, which you're not obligated to do, but just something to think over at the Shabbos table. I know there was a lot here. Hopefully you were able to take in most of it, and I'm wishing you all a Shabbat Shalom.